Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. 90 Day Fiancé Love in Paradise Recap, Season 3, Episode 8. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Indeed. How you been, man?
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. It's been a light week at work, which is weird. You're just used to being so crazy. And then when it's light, you're like, what's happening? What did I miss?
The crazy things you always tell people, like, you know, busy is good, right? Because busy is good. It's when you're not busy that you kind of get, you know, well, obviously you're not worried because you've had a busy last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I'm changing my perspective. I'm saying, you know what? Let me just enjoy the fact that it's not crazy busy, because when it does get crazy busy again, I'm going to miss this moment. So right. It's good. It's good. I can't really complain. What about you?
Well, you know me, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So, regardless, you know, things can get hectic. I'm still just like, you know what? It is what it is. You know, but I don't thrive when I have nothing to do. You know, yeah. So for me, it's always like, you know, needing that extra, my mind is constantly going. So it's like, take for instance, I may say I'm going to binge watch something, right? And I may lay on the couch through two episodes and I'm like, I got to get up and do something while I'm watching this. So yeah, busy is always good. And, you know, definitely this week is not disappointing. Last week was really busy. Interesting week. You know, we had Issa Rae in there. This week we had Janelle Monáe. You know, so interesting, man.
Really. Who's Issa Rae?
Really?
Is that the one from Players Club?
No, that's Lisa Rae.
Oh, my fault.
All right. We're gonna have to put you on an insecure binge watch here. You have Max, not HBO Max, but Max, right? Because, you know, HBO switched it from HBO Max to now Max. And Peacock goes, don't worry, we're not dropping the first part of our name. But you got to go on Max and watch Insecure. Issa Rae started off doing Awkward Black Girl, and she's actually in the new Spider-Man movie. Across the Spider-Verse. She's Jessica Drew. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
The black girl. In
yeah.
The black girl in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Now I guess you're talking about. Is when you said Issa Rae, I was thinking Lisa Rae from Players Club. I'm like, what is she pubbing? And why are you having her on the show?
Well, Lisa Rae is actually doing something that we will not be covering. I think somebody even asked if we were going to do that at one point in time. It's a new show on TV One called Asking for a Friend. We'll pass on that one. Even though I do know somebody that's actually going to be on that show too. So it'll be interesting.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm not going to watch it then because you said to pass.
Yeah, wasn't no child, so I just had to log into Max to watch this. Like, why isn't it all connected? Yeah, so that's the crazy thing about Max, right? You had HBO Max, you click into it, and it tells you, no, it's now Max. Download the new one. I'm like, couldn't you just change the logo? Seriously? But that's now they've got a lot more reality TV in there as well, too. They've got, it's like they've expanded a lot more things under the umbrella. So Max now has a lot of stuff. So like you said, going into Max to watch 90 Day Fiancé, Love in Paradise, which is why we're here today. So you ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right. So first up, let's talk about the couple that's no longer a couple, but still yearning to be a couple, Valentine and Carlos. You know, first things first, when Carlos showed up on camera, I'm like, and you know, I've said this before, stop boxing on camera. Stop it. Reality TV, stop boxing on camera. If this is not what you do for a living, don't do it.
But he looked a lot better than the person we were making fun of in another show. Like, he looked like this wasn't his first time.
It wasn't his first time, but he's punching. You got to turn your punches over. You can't punch like this. This is not how you punch. You turn your punches over. That's how they're effective. You got to turn them over.
Okay, calm down there, Floyd Mayweather. Just saying that he's up there doing rock'em sock'em robots on the bag, but he's getting the workout in. That's totally fine.
Well, at least we know, you know, the fact is, you know, he's got a bill for it. But yeah, that's exactly what he looked like. But Valentine decides to call his mom, you know, and he was really looking forward to this wedding because, you know, his mom kicked him out of the house when he was younger because he was gay. And, you know, he was looking forward to her walking him down the aisle. And, well, he had to call and tell her, hey, mama, that ain't happening.
You know what? I thought it's Pride Month, right? And so I thought it was great to know that his mom kicked him out, but they reconciled and she's repeatedly apologized. It wasn't just a one-time, hey, my bad. She embraced her son. She loves her son. And she was going to be there to walk him down the aisle. So I thought it was a really good, touching moment. And I'm glad that she supported his decision.
Yeah.
About ending the relationship, but I don't
think
Valentine's...
Took his side wholeheartedly, too.
Wholeheartedly, right? But I just don't think Valentine's done. If Carlos calls you up, he'll be right over.
Because his mom is like, you dodged the bullet. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, part of me is still hoping that he calls.
But that bullet's cute, though.
I like the way he rock him, sock him, roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, my question, though, when he called her about that was like, what about her plane ticket, though? Because remember, this wedding was supposed to be in a couple days. So that means she already has the ticket. It's on the way there. What about this plane ticket? And I've seen people saying in the chat before, like, wait a minute. If he's only there for this many days, how did they take all these pictures? How did they get all these shots? Well, they're still obligated to take these video shoots anyway, right? So they did those. And of course, we're not seeing 24 hours of them. So we're missing a lot of time. But what about these damn plane tickets?
Well, but didn't Bravo pay for the tickets?
Did they though?
Because I would think so.
Okay, so conflicting reports on that, because I've seen where people say you still have to pay for the stuff you're doing. They may give you a stipend for here's what you get for being on the show, but they're not paying for all these trips. It's like you still have to be able to afford it yourself.
Yeah, but the amount of money that they can spend on plane tickets compared to the money they make off the show, pennies. Like, I don't see that being a big deal, that they could book the ticket and it's totally fine.
If they fly Spirit or Frontier, absolutely correct. But understand, you get what you pay for. Look, I'm not gonna call anybody's name in this one when I say this, but I flew one of these budget airlines once, right? And I knew immediately when I was there, I was like, oh yeah, this ain't Delta. When they were like, we're boarding group one. If you are not in group one, go back and sit down. Like, damn.
I'm surprised they didn't say, sit your ass down.
Yeah, they did not play. I was like, okay, all right, so this is what it is. Next couple up, Juan and Jessica. You know, I thought it was neat when they first got up there, and Juan was with the boys, and he said, you know, he now realizes how much life is not just changing for him. Right. Because that's all he was thinking about. Well, my life is going to change. But then he realized, you know what? These boys are going to be affected. Because remember, his first thought was, these are some badass kids.
Yep.
He should not stop thinking that. But I like the fact that he started thinking. I like the fact he started thinking, like, you know what? Life is changing for them, too.
Yeah. No, I really like that about Juan, because it's true. His life is changing. Mm-hmm. But those two boys' lives are changing. And right. He has to keep that in mind, even though they're not his biological children, this is going to be part of his family. And he has to consider their feelings and the whole deal. So I thought it was nice that he just took the boys out and bonded with them and talked. And it seems like they really like him. They do. So I thought that was a smart move on his part to connect with them a bit, give them that space to voice whatever feels that they have. But it's a valid point. It's not just about him anymore. And it's not just about him and the baby. Mm-hmm. It's him and both those little crumb snatchers.
How'd you like? Dan kept it real, man. Like, are you happy? No. Even one had to agree. Yes, it is kind of fast. It's probably faster than I wanted, but you know how your mama is. Yeah,
she got that good. I couldn't move. What do you do?
I'm going to teach you a little something, Dan. When you get older, she gets on top.
It's like, ¿cómo se dice pull out in Espanol?
This is why when you go in the gym, you still work on these emotions. Get up. Lord have mercy. Giving away the secrets too early. Erica says those kids are going to drive Juan crazy. Yeah, they are. Because when you talk about cultural differences, right? Huge cultural differences. I remember when I came to the States and, you know, my siblings were really young. So I was babysitting them and neighbors would be like, yo, he's so good with them. And they'll tell my mom, you know, well, maybe. And I'm like, don't even think about it. Because the last thing I need is one of these little crumb snatchers talking about, you ain't my daddy. Now I got to go to jail.
It tells me, go get the switch. What? You know what I said. Go get the switch.
Cultural differences. You can't.
Well, and honestly, I think that as Juan and Jessica, once he moves to the States and they're living together, if all that happens, they're going to see a difference.
Yes.
You know, he's just not going to let them be who they are. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a different presence. And I think those boys are going to recognize the man energy in the house and they'll adapt to it.
Yeah. And they'll be all the better for it. Hopefully so. So, hopefully. You know, they're expecting some friends and stuff over. And of course, Jessica's friend is still there because, of course, she was there for the entire trip. Megan, which thank God Juan said her name because I was like, damn, they didn't even tell us her name again. like we're supposed to remember. You know, of course, that's Megan.
Yeah.
But she confronts Juan about her cheating, about his cheating on the cruise. And of course, he's like, what cheating?
I don't know what you're talking about. What me?
Como se dice, it wasn't me.
What me? No hablo. No hablo inglés. Okay.
No comprende cheating. Yeah. The problem is he didn't realize that women are social media and digital sleuths. They are the greatest investigators and finders of information other than the student loan people.
They are. They are. And we've all experienced it. and I've always said Juan's story is bullshit. It's like, so you're telling me you were just really nice to a guest. Mm-hmm. She took it as you liked her. And then on her own accord, mm-hmm. she found your social, found mm-hmm. Jessica, mm-hmm. found her contact info mm-hmm. and reached out to Jessica to say that we hooked up mm-hmm. all in her head. No, that doesn't make sense. And so when Megan's like, hey, I got receipts. I found the people. I saw the pictures of you on excursions. And she reached out to, I think, the sister, and the sister was like, yes, they were intimate, you know, but I think Megan is, personally, I think Megan's wrong.
Why?
She's wrong in how she's handled it. You can have your feeling about what happened, but Jessica decided that she's moving on and they're going to be together and having a baby. Then you got to let your friend be. You don't need to go confront that person and say, hey, if you do this again, it's not going to be good for you. Like Megan's going to do something.
Okay. Here's the thing that Megan didn't do, though. And you got to respect Megan's gangsterness, right? I'm with you. And she may be overstepping her boundaries. But the one thing Megan didn't do was say, she didn't tell him all the stuff she found. She told us. Mm-hmm. And she was like, this is not the time to do this because I don't want to mess up this get together we're about to have. So you've got to give us some respect for at least recognizing now is not the time, because we know many of people who would have been like, tear the house down right now.
Yeah. But I mean, there's no time because Jessica is pregnant. She's mm-hmm. brought her two boys to spend a week with Juan. Mm-hmm. She's all in. And you got to like let your friend do her thing. Maybe Juan did cheat and that was a one-time deal. And now he's fully into the Jessica train. And then he's got to go out to Wyoming. Great. That's your friend's problem. That's not yours. Your job is to distract the kids so Juan and Jessica can have sex. That's why you're here on the trip. You're not here to counsel. Yes.
Know your role and shut your mouth.
Stay in your lane. Your job is to watch my boys so she can go get some. And then you can come back into the mix and we're all going to eat paella and all that other stuff.
Right. You know what? You're right. And that's where Jessica needs to step in and pull that rock. Know your role. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, I didn't bring you here for that. That's not your job. I appreciate you want a little camper time, but no. Yeah.
Wait till he gets to the cow pasture before you do that.
When he gets to Wyoming, then you can let him have it. But I need to get him here.
Exactly, because she doesn't want three. No, let me stop. All right, it's Scott and Lydia. These two, man. When you saw Lydia crying, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Gross.
All right, fast forward. So let's go.
Cheers.
They decide to have a sit down, right? And with the translator, because there's a lot to get out.
Right.
What did you think of their combo? Because I think it was a battle from the get-go, right? Obviously.
So from a male's perspective, we've seen this movie too many times.
Yes.
You want to be honest and you break up with somebody and you do it the right way. Mm-hmm. Then the next day they want to have a talk. And that's for them to be able to get their shit out and be able to say why they're pissed or whatever. Because it's like, you just can't say, hey, well, it didn't work out. I felt like Scott did this the right way, but Lydia was like, there's no way a Scott's going to dump this. And I was like, you know, you've already had someone dump you before. So you should be used to this. This is a rerun in your life. So why are you surprised? But it was valid reasons, and I respect how Scott handled it, and he was just being honest. But then all of a sudden, Lydia wants to get a translator in just to get some stuff off her chest.
Yeah.
And maybe that's closure for her, but I just think that's immature.
But, okay, she wants to get the stuff off her chest. She wants to say her piece, because you're right. You know, you got to get that off, right? And to your point, let's just say women want honesty, and everybody, because men want honesty too. Until you get it and it's not what you want to hear, okay? And that's the problem. However, is she wrong in saying that he should not have come to Santo Domingo? If you've rekindled this flame that you've been sending money to that you were so enamored with before, hey, you should have just said it then and not even bother coming here. Is she wrong for saying that, though?
Yes, because it wasn't so much the flame was rekindled. He has already booked this trip. He's been talking to you for a year. He wants to find out, is there something here before I go back to this? And I agree with him. Go out and find out, you know, if there's a connection there. If there's a connection with you and Lydia, then you let old girl in Colombia know, hey, it's not going to happen. And move on. You know, but he goes to meet Lydia. There's no chemistry. There's not a thing to keep him engaged. If she really wanted him, she'd be fine. And that's the whole thing, is she wasn't feeling him. It'd be one thing if she was emotionally all connected. She wasn't feeling him, but her attitude is more like, oh, you're not going to dump me on live TV. I'm going to dump you, or I'm going to do this and bring my daughter into it to co-sign on all the stuff that I'm saying. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think Scott's a liar. I think he handled it well, and he told her face to face. He could have just texted her and said, hey, I'm not feeling it. I'm going back home to California. He did it.
So, okay. So Ingrid says, and Ingrid said this at first, right? She said, why did he go see her in the DR if he had already been talking with his ex-29-year-old girlfriend? But then, I mean, you already answered that part. But the second part to her question was that he should have made that clear to Lydia. Did he, though? Did he already?
No. You don't make that clear. So let's just all be honest with ourselves. How many times had you been single and you start dating somebody you really like? And then month two or three, you get that text from that person from your past. That
every
you have that emotional connection.
God
happens all the time. Now, you're in this new relationship and you're like, well, you know, I don't know. You're not going to tell the new person, hey, FYI. One of my exes texted me back in the day and they wanted to grab coffee. You're just like, you know, I'm just going to ride this out, because if the relationship works, you can easily tell that person, hey, back off. I'm seeing somebody. But if you're not 100% sure in the new person you're dating, you don't quite close that door. And that's what Scott did. We've all done that. So I don't think that he was wrong. I don't think he should have landed in the DR and saying, Lydia, great to meet you. BT dubs. My ex reached out to me 2 weeks ago. And so I don't think he should have did that at all, because I think he was just trying to find out, is there something there? And then you could address it at that time, but there's nothing there. There's no chemistry between those two. So he was like, let's just be honest. I'm done with this talking through apps and all that. It's just not worth
it. Okay. Now, and Celery08 has a great point. They couldn't make anything clear because neither one had working smartphone bilingual software, which is so true. But you make a great point here. And the fact
that— Thank you.
The minute, yeah, it's, you know, once every quarter you do that.
I know.
And, I know. And it's one of those things where you're right. The minute you decide to move on, the one that got away always seems to try to come back. Or the one that couldn't seem to come. It's always somebody from the past that pops up. We call it the devil showing up when they know something's going good. It always happens. And it happens. And it could be whether the one that got away or the one that was just always the one giving you hell. They always show back up. It happens for you. It happens for the other person. It's just a matter of whether y'all actually talk about it. To your point, he told her. Here's part of the honesty of where we're having. But the first thing he did say was, there's not a connection. We're not feeling this. This is not really happening.
Right.
So, yeah, you know what? Now, Ingrid does say that Scott did tell Liddy that he wasn't seeing anyone else. Technically, he's still not seeing the old one, right?
He's not seeing her because she's in Colombia. He's in California. He was 2 weeks away from the DR. So he's not seeing anyone else. And they've not started a relationship or anything, but she just popped up. So I think if he had went to the DR and the chemistry was there with Lydia and all that, then he'd have been fine to hop on that Studebaker and pass on the Tesla that's trying to come back in his life.
Erica says there's no chemistry between Scott and Lydia. He's not wrong. Mm-mm. You're right. I mean, there's absolutely no chemistry. And Darren, absolutely right. It's Scott's ex is a zombie. You know, we talked about this. You've been ghosted, you got ghosts, and you got zombies. And zombies just pop back up at the wrong time.
yeah. That zombie pops up on you like, oh, shoot, I should have checked the back seat. I didn't know.
Now, of course, Lydia wasn't going out without a fight. She had to bring in the backups, you know, bring in the big guns that she brought Nicole. They both, and Nicole goes in and berates Scott and tells him that the only reason a young woman would want him is for money, because he's an old 50-year-old man. And she knows this because she's a young woman.
Trash. Nicole and that whole family, I get it. You're reality star, you know.
And you haven't even seen the other episodes.
And I haven't seen it, I get it, but you're trash. But to degrade Scott the way she did and to combat him the way she did when he was just being honest, which to me, he couldn't have done your mom any more justice. Not like he slept with her.
Right.
And then was like, hey, you know, the language barrier.
He didn't try to push up on her excessively either.
No, he didn't. He was respectful the whole time. But for her to come at him that way, I thought was terrible. For her to say that he's pathetic. And I'm like, why is he pathetic? Because he was honest. And then the thing that made me laugh, this is just me being the asshole I am. She's crying like, first was my father, now a Scott. And I'm sorry, I fell out laughing. I'm like, yeah, well, now a Scott. Add him to a list.
Hey, Robin says, I'm so glad Lydia and Nicole got dumped. No green card for you.
You stay over there.
Yo, the funny thing is, and Darren made a great point here. Scott was ready to go roid rage on Nicole's ass. You know, here's the thing about it. She berated him, and then he gets upset and asks, like, you can't talk to a grown man like he's a child. No matter how mad you are, you can't berate somebody that way and not expect them to react. And that's all he did. And he didn't react violently. He just reacted a little forcefully and raised his voice too, because you've been talking down to me. You, who are a minor to me, are talking to me like you have no respect. Then what do you expect is going to come back?
Yeah, and I think this is one of those occasions of a child needs to stay out of grown folks' business. Mm-hmm. Lydia is grown. She's really grown. Like when elevators are manual, grown. She's grown. Nicole doesn't need to come at. Sorry. Nicole doesn't need to come at Scott like that for breaking up with the Crypt Keeper. He's just being honest with what he felt, and he did it in a very nice and respectful way. Nicole's just trying to talk some trash, and she didn't even want to listen to him. So I don't blame him for getting, I totally get him being frustrated. I'm glad that he checked himself as he's raising his voice to these women, because you still need to be respectful, Scott. I mean, indeed. You get your big dude, still be respectful. But he was angry and frustrated, and he was just like, this is going nowhere. Let's just walk away. And I'm like, that's what you do, Scott.
Not only that, walk away. He also apologized later. Even if it was just to the to the production team, he's like, look, I apologize for raising my voice, but, and at least in the moment he, because there are a lot of people, once they get to that level, there's no coming back down that day, right? But him in that moment was at least to be able to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I raised my voice. And now Scott is gone, as Trisha says.
Yeah. And great. You know, I really feel like he handled that with class, because I don't know what you and I would do in that situation. Mm-hmm. I have an idea of what we would do. We'd be like, oh, you're going to put some gas on this? Here's a match. Let's do this.
Hold up.
You and I would do that. I'm like, oh, we're about to do this? Where that gas? Boom.
Oh, yeah. I love when people try that, because they're like, oh, you have no idea. Hold my beer.
You want to F around to find
out? Hold my vodka.
Okay. You want to F around to find out? Okay, we're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today. Final couple, April and Valentine.
Ugh.
Hoo-wee. Now, we first see them. April is heading to Valentine's family's house to prep for a party. But it's still, you know, a little get together. Of course, she's still bothered that Valentine isn't ready to move to the U.S. immediately, which does seem kind of weird to me, right? I mean, is she wrong for being bothered by this? Because my assumption was that they were moving to Houston regardless.
So, and I'm sure this is for the show, but here's why I say she's wrong. She's wrong if this is the first time she's hearing it.
Right.
Because if I've been talking to you remotely for a year, we've had many conversations about when you're moving and what does it take for you to get here. So that would have been a done deal. So if that's the first time that she's heard that, then to me, that's on her. She's wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, that is very true. Because if it is the first time, right?
Right.
She steps out the taxi and is like, oh, sewer water. I'm like, is it really, or is the water just not of the quality that you want?
Not the quality of Houston, Texas, because that water is amazing.
Yeah, right. You know, here's the thing about it. I may be wrong, but I don't think it was sewer water. It's just water down the gutter. And the gutter is not going to, it's the friggin' street. What do you think it's going to be? Whew, caught myself. But she goes inside and she sees the family getting ready with the plantains and all that. And she's worried about them using a clay sink outside, an outdoor sink. And of course, when they ask her to help, she's like, well, let me go get my gloves. Oh, yeah. Can't forget the Lysol spray.
Yeah. I mean, I get her germophobia, but you got to think about, you're in a whole nother country, and to me, she's being very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I get that sink. I'd have been like, hey, did y'all wash this out? And here's the deal. They probably did wash it out. Mm-hmm. She just didn't see it. Yeah. She just sees them like cutting on a sink and doesn't realize they already cleaned it. Right. So you know, you're being very judgmental about that. But I knew when I saw that clay sink, I was like, yeah, she's not going to be able to handle this too well. And I just think it's weird to be such a germaphobe in other countries, especially the poor sides of town in other countries.
Right. You know, the interesting thing was she brings up the Lysol spray and, okay, That's so disrespectful on this show. That cannot be the first time this grandmother has seen Lysol in her life.
Oh, que sestro.
Por hermanos?
Yeah, hermanos? Limpia hermanos? Oh. Oh. So
she sprays it on her hands. Like, stop it. I mean, but this is the ridiculousness that comes out of... After I moved to the States, I understand why people feel this way, right? You think of these smaller islands, you're thinking, well, they haven't seen a lot. But damn, there's no way this woman has never seen Lysol in her life. I'm sorry. He works too many places to have not brought some Lysol home at some point or another.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just crazy. And I totally get her concern because she sees a bleach bottle mm-hmm. and doesn't realize that, okay, they recycle and reuse stuff. It's no longer bleach. It's just,
April doesn't hang out with a black family. That's the problem.
When she was a kid, it was always fresh grease. It was never leftover bacon grease, fish grease, everything that you have in the Crisco can. For her, it was always fresh olive oil. Every time the family cooked.
I didn't understand why she thought that was actual. The minute they poured it, I'm like, oh, but that's definitely not. Can't you smell bleach? Bleach has a very distinct smell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robin says it right, though. April is a jerk.
I think she is. I mean, if you're going to date somebody that grew up, and here's what's funny. He grew up in what we in the U.S. call poor. Mm-hmm. Where in the DR, that might not be poor. That's just average. Mm-hmm. But to be that judgmental of it, you got to be able to let that stuff go. I mean, I knew as a kid, my stepdad's from Bryan, Texas, from the country. Mm-hmm. I'm a city boy. So I remember when we went to go meet that side of the family for the first time, and we're driving out there in the middle of nowhere. And I remember we passed like a cotton field. I'm like, what is all that white stuff? Is that snow? I was a kid. And my mom was like, that's cotton. I'm like, that's cotton? And then you see cows and horses and all that. We get to my grandpa's house, and these cousins I don't know come out walking barefoot, stepping on glass and rocks like it's nothing, you know. And I see chickens running around. I'm like, okay, this is different, you know, than what I grew up with. And then in the house, we're just sitting there eating, talking, and grandpa's eating something. He just throws whatever he's eating into the fireplace. The fire wasn't lit. He just threw trash in the fireplace because at some point, he's going to make a fire. It could be a year from now, but at some point, that stuff will burn up. It was just a totally different world. But I couldn't go in there saying, oh, my goodness, I can't do any of this. At some point, I'm like, okay, yeah, give me some of that hoghead cheese. Put on that cracker. Let me try this. Let's see what this is about. So I think April has to be able to do the same thing. Her germophobia can mm-hmm. handle a few days. It's not like you've moved there. You can mm-hmm. handle a few days and not be rude because you're disrespecting the way that these people live on a daily basis, not just Juan and his family, or not Valentin and his family, it's everybody in that community. That's how they all live and thrive. And they're a community that cares about each other, supports each other, oftentimes better than we do here in the U.S. So nice. I'm like, April, you're wrong on this one.
Erica agrees. She said April is very disrespectful. She's going to belittle Valentin and his family every chance she gets. And Celery08 says, yes, April brought dishonor on herself. I like that. That takes it back to Game of Thrones or medieval time. You brought dishonor on this family.
By treating you dishonored this dojo.
By treating his family so rudely and still probably thinks she's cute. As Cynthia says, Miss Siditi needs to stay in the city. Celery comes back and says, this is a great point. Doctor has all the tools to cure any infection she might get. She shouldn't let herself be so rude. The question I have for everybody saying that about, yes, she was rude. She was. She's at the house for 8 hours, finally asked to go to the bathroom, goes there, was like, yeah, nah, I'm not going to use this toilet. How disrespectful was that? Or was it even disrespectful just to go, like, you know what?
It was very disrespectful. That's like me saying, Yanni, your house is so bad, I won't even take a shit in here.
Well, first of all, you never have to worry about that. And two, don't worry. You've never been here anyway.
I have been here.
I know you have been. I said you would never be here if you said something like that.
Exactly. That's the point. Mm. Like, she just pretty much said, your house is so bad. This house that you grew up in with your mm-hmm. family that you love, I wouldn't even take a shit here. That's how bad this place is.
Well, she just needed
that's
to
pee.
She didn't even want to hover over the toilet and do that. Because it's not.
I don't think she
and I know we don't have the hover skills, but women have the hover skills when they go in public bathrooms.
I get it, but I don't even think she had to hover. I think she had to do a number two, and she's just like, not today, especially having to pour water down just to be able to flush the toilet. I'm like, that's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
That's not. It's not like toilet water. It's not like you have to scoop water out of one toilet to pour into another toilet. It's water. Yeah, so I think she made way too much of a big deal of that.
Sophia says, at least it wasn't an outhouse. Trisha says, I wanted to smack her through the screen. No Channel says, also, haven't doctors expressed some germs are good? Doesn't she know this? But she's also a germaphobe, so there's that. There are doctors who smoke, too, so.
You shouldn't, but see you in a month.
Erica says April made it seem like their bathroom was a hole in the floor. Maybe that's what she saw when she went in there. Like, we don't know what was seen in the toilet. There could have been a log.
Like India, it wasn't like India with a hole in the floor and you just kind of go through that. Mm. She was just bad. And at least to me, from what I saw on the camera, the bathroom at least looked clean.
Yeah.
So it'd be one thing if the whole bathroom was gross, but you got Lysol, spray the seat of the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down. What's do your business.
Celery said the exact same thing. And then have Valentine do the bucket thing afterward. You don't even have to do it. He loves you. He'll do it.
And I don't know if I love somebody that much. If I'm going to, let me pour some water on your shit so we can flush it. I'm not there yet.
She said she had to pee.
I'm just saying, I'm not there with anybody. I don't want, like, hey, babe, let me know when you're done. I'll pour some water down. I'll flush it for you. Just get up. I got you covered. I can't.
Well, we know you're not going to be there. Darren says, I think she has white privilege away from her black family. Look, so the interesting thing is, as the family starts to arrive, we meet Valentine's sister and meet his brother, Yoel, right? And, Yoel starts speaking. First thing I know is like, oh, he's giving April an eye like, yo, hey. But then he starts speaking English. And she's like, wait a minute. You speak English. His sister speaks English. Why doesn't Valentine speak English?
Because Valentine does speak English. That's just the storyline for this show.
You can't
tell me that they all speak English and he, you know, no hablo. I don't believe it.
Here's the thing about this. And, you know, I've said this before, like, all right, let's follow along the way they're giving it to us, but you're absolutely right in this. And a little behind the scenes on us, because we have these conversations sometimes, and it's like, yeah, I think this is fake, you know? And it's like, well, we're going to follow along the way they're giving it to us. But that makes absolutely no sense. I could understand the mom and the grandmom, because even when people move to the States, the mom and the grandmom don't, you know, automatically speak English. But you can't tell me, especially since he works on a resort.
Yes.
That's where they met. There's absolutely no way. No way.
Exactly. Exactly. He speaks some English because he works on a resort. He's training people that are there just for a workout that are Americans, whatever else, they're speaking English.
Uno,
he can speak
dos,
some stuff.
Tres,
yeah.
Cuatro.
¿Cómo se dice burpees in Espanol? So I know that he can do it. So that's the thing that makes their storyline that they're trying to create bad, because you're making it seem like we're stupid. Mm-hmm. That he's the baby, his older siblings all can speak English, but he can't.
Now, so two things here, right? One, he was not happy to hear that April had cleaned up. Again, this English thing, because obviously his brother had to translate for him, right? As to the fact that she helped clean up. And she's just like, well, I'll just clean up out here. But then the other thing, he gets offended by her reaction to where he lived. as if he'd never been to where he'd met her and where she'd always stayed. Because it's interesting, because one of the things that was said earlier in the chat was about, well, hadn't she been to the DR before? Or did she only stay on the on the resorts? And she'd said that. She'd only really stayed on the resorts. She stayed in the vacation spots like a lot of people. Oh, my God, this place is so amazing. Not realizing what else is still there, right? But he says, financial status shouldn't matter if you're in love.
Yeah, that's what you say when you're broke. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. Back in the day when we were broke and struggling, we'd be like, why does that matter? Yeah, that's what you say when you're broke. But he can't look at his life and his career in the DR and then compare that to April's. Mm-hmm. And expect her, because I'm in love, I'm going to give up all this
right
to come be here and pour water in toilets. Not happening. You know, so I just think that's just some stuff you say when you're broke, that it shouldn't matter what I look like or how much money I make or whatever. I just think that's just some crap.
Celery agrees that you said, yes, Terrell, that's what you say when you're broke. And it makes no sense, seriously, because he knew where he met her, the level of resort he met her at. And here's the difference. Regardless of where you live in this space, right, in these resort islands, regardless of where you live, you know the level of resort you're at, okay? And you know the person that you're dealing with in that space. So therefore, it's not like it's new to him as to what her mindset is. And she makes her money over there. Yes, she bought a dealership there. It's not going to make the money that she makes. That's just, okay, I'm going to hide some money over here. That's what that is. Right? She still has multiple businesses in Houston. She's got her practice. Of course you're going to move there, right? But in order to move there, then you also have to understand the level that she's living at. And you know what level she's living at. So, of course, she's not going to be happy with this other. So, yeah, you do have to realize that there's more to it than just love. Because number one reason for divorce is what? Finances.
In the U.S. Maybe in the DR, the number one reason for divorce is water and toilets. I don't know. But regardless of that, she knows that she's dating somebody that's not at her financial status, and that's what she wants.
Yeah.
Because we talked about that at the beginning when this couple got introduced. She's doing what a man would do, where a man that's really, you know, wealthy, established, is going to not date somebody who's equally wealthy or as aggressive with their professional career. They're going to be the one that's in charge. And I think that's what she wants, is she's the one that's in charge. And that there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the case, her being the one in charge, she had to nip that conversation in the bud a long time ago that says, look here, if we work out, you're moving to Houston.
Right.
And you're learning English. I'm going to download the Babbel app. I'll pay for it. You need to learn some English. Let's go.
Babbel and Duolingo. We're doing both of them.
Both of them. You got to get it down.
B-O-F-U-M, both of them. Now, Erica says, I'm getting Danielle and Johan vibes. This isn't going to work. Now, Danielle and Johan were on, were they on the first season of Love in Paradise or was it the second season? So Danielle was from New York, school teacher. Johan was also in Dominican Republic. And he was one of those dancers at the resort. That's how they met, right? She's like 5'2". He's like 6'10". He's really weird dynamic. But the difference with them, and here's why I don't say the same vibes. She wanted to move to the DR and stay there. He was like, yeah, come on now, let's get married, and then we'll move to New York. And so it's a different... Now, the same thing that you say that is, they may be similar, it probably isn't going to work.
Probably isn't, you know, but who knows? At least they won't have a baby on the way. So at least there's that. She probably makes them wear two condoms because she's worried about germs and STDs.
You think they kiss with plastic in between them?
Yeah. They got dental dam. Got the dental dam on.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's such a weird dynamic with those two. Because it's total opposites attract, and I get that, but April has to realize that you are dating someone that grew up poor in a third world country. Mm-hmm. And their lifestyle is different. You can't shit on them for that.
Right.
And if you don't want to go, don't go. Okay, this is your 1 week to be there, meet his family. Going forward, when y'all come in town to visit, you stay at the resort. You got to drive over there for the dinner. You go back to the resort. You can take 5 showers, and then you feel fine. You know, but you just can't be that disrespectful with those folks, because that's how they all grew up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had aunts that when I would go home and they would cook, they didn't wash their hands sometimes, and stuff fell on the floor. You put it back in the pot. Like, it was just is what it is as a kid. You didn't question it. Mm. And so she's going to have to change that, because I think what she doesn't realize that she may be doing is alienating Valentin.
Yeah.
And then also judging him. At least he's perceiving it as he's being judged, because this is his life and how he grew up. And the way she's talking about it, it's almost like talking about him.
Celery says, April is definitely far more successful than Valentin and needs to figure out how to honor him. Darren has another theory, though, especially about the whole bathroom visit. I think April was just worried about plugging their toilet.
She had to drop a deuce. I mean, it's 8 hours. I'm sorry. You can hold a pee in for 8 hours if you may need to, but, you know, you get some of that Dominican Republic coffee in you in the morning, you're going to need to let some stuff out.
Well, she also had some of that mashed plantain, too, so.
Yeah. She had the bubbly. She's like, I need to uso el baño. She had to go so bad that she even said it in Spanish, so everybody knew. I got to use it for
it. Hey, going back on some of these, Steady C said Valentin has a life of misery ahead of him if he stays with April. Yeah, well, you know, that, but he may like that. Ingrid says April is too old for him anyway. So, like, damn, is she though? Is she really too old?
She's trying to get her groove back. I mean, she has a young,
she's 12 years older than him.
Young, fit, handsome guy. Men do it all the time.
Exactly.
Men do it all the time. So I'm like, April, do you? I think it's great.
Now, I do want to point out, because, you know, Ingrid was very adamant that Scott was wrong, and Tracy was right there backing up saying Scott was wrong. He knew he still wanted a 29-year-old. He wasted Lydia's time, to which you completely disagree with anyway, right?
I do. We all want a 29-year-old. I mean, so that never goes away. I'm 48. I'm like, a 29-year-old, that'd be dope, you know, but I'm going to stick with what I got. But a 29-year-old, that's kind of awesome.
Oh, so boy, you're going to be trouble when you get off this live. You're going to be so in trouble when you get off this live. Excuse me, you want what now? And then Ingrid says, thank you, Tracy. I felt all alone in here. Scott just wanted to be on TV. First of all, Ingrid, you're never alone in here. You know what? We respect all opinions, even the ones that disagree with us. It's never to that level of you should never feel alone in here, because we're all about it. Terrell and I don't agree on everything, and so therefore, and we just never get disrespectful about it. Now, some people have gotten disrespectful with us, and, you know, some of them have been blocked because of that, because there's certain things you just don't do.
Right.
Well, and don't feel alone in here.
You know what I think would be very interesting to find out is how many people that follow and watch the lives and engage each other in the chat have connected outside of the live and become friends. Mm-hmm. You know, even data, like, how cool would that be that, let's say, Ingrid and Tracy now, 3 months from now, are BFFs, and they're going to go to Jerk Fest together in Charleston. And, like, how did y'all meet? We listened to the podcast, and that's how we met. Like, I just think that's going to be so cool one day. There's going to be that story of two people that became friends or more than friends because they just both happen to chime into the podcast.
Well, you know, to the point, like you said, we already had yesterday when we did the Summer House. Hey, let's do a regular guys, random thoughts, meet and greet at Jerkfest. So, of course, that's going to be, hey, there you go, Trisha Ann. Welcome to Chucktown. You're doggone right. Welcome to the Chuck Buy. look, it's going to be crazy. July 15th, Riverfront Park in North Charleston, South Carolina. And always, when I first went to Charleston, right, always said it was South Carolina's best kept secret, and Charleston's definitely been one of the destination spots for a lot of people over the years. So check it out, chsjerkfest.com. We'd definitely love to see you there. And JD says, Terrell, excuse me. No, Terrell, all men do not want a 29-year-old. However, 28 or 30-year-old.
Hey, JD, I appreciate that you're listening to the podcast sitting next to your partner, and you have to say that. I get it. But if you were single and you had an option and a 29-year-old wants you or Lydia, you're going to be like, hey, 29. 29, won't you do something? All I'm saying is if you have the opportunity between a 29-year-old and Lydia, you're going to take 29 all day, every day. But I get it. Don't answer that right now because obviously somebody's sitting next to you and you can't be honest. That's fine.
You're like, no, baby. Obviously, you live. Yeah.
There's no way I'd want a 29-year-old. I love you. I'm like, okay.
Oh, before the rest of that vodka kicks in, don't forget, Married at First Sight. That's going to be tomorrow night. So, you know, we should be on tomorrow with it, but if not tomorrow, it's going to be. And then, of course, the Summer House coming up. And then, of course, back to this one right here, 90 Day Fiance, Love in Paradise. And JD says, hey, hold up, Terrell. I am a female since the men are not speaking up.
I apologize. I did not know that. But the men aren't speaking up because they're sitting next to somebody who's listening to the podcast and they can't speak up.
You didn't think he was going to change what he said, did you?
Every guy knows. I'm sorry. And I don't care how old you are. If you are a single man, you could be 60 and you have Lydia and a 29-year-old that wants to hook up with you, you're going to take 29 all the time.
Robin says, if I was a man and had the choice between a 69-year-old and Lydia, it wouldn't be Lydia.
You just do it yourself. You wouldn't even take the 69-year-old. You'd be like, you know what? You got to say, if I was a choice between a 69-year-old and Lydia and both my hands were cut off, then yes, maybe you would take the 69-year-old.
I learned to be flexible, use my feet. Oh my God, y'all are hilarious, man. Thank you guys for another wonderful chat, another live. Make sure if you're here, you hit that like button. If you're watching it later, hey, hit the like button again too, and leave a comment in here. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, hey, come on over to YouTube and hit the like button while you're at it too, and subscribe.
Definitely, please.
Terrell,
yeah, Tristan.
I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
And we'll see you July 15th in Charleston, South Carolina. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts
Podcast. I will be there.
Cheers.